All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal, you are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
I'm excited to welcome back my younger brother, Jeff Natale, of Community Care, and he is the inaugural winner of the Lecom Health Behavioral Health Breakthrough Award. That's Jeff, welcome.
Thanks, Joel. It's good to be back to see my brother.
And congratulations, man. All right.
Why Jeff Natale? It's okay.
So tell me about the award. What's the nature of it here?
What I can tell you is that I got a call from my previous employer from Mill Creek Community Hospital, Dr. Daniel Hansen, who you know, and was told that Dr. Ferretti had a discussion with her about wanting to, give this award to me. And I'll be honest, I am enormously humbled by it. And, in the middle of, the kind of the worst challenge to the behavioral health system, in the U.S., for them to choose a director of a managed care company.
Yeah.
To receive this award is knocked my feet out from under me.
I want to share what was presented to us. This event was created to honor behavioral health in the Erie area and aims to recognize the tremendous strides taken in providing behavioral health services to those in need. During this event, we'll be recognizing and honoring Jeff Natale of Community Care Behavioral Health for his incredible work in our field. And we're thrilled to bring together so many of Jeff's friends and peers in the celebration of your success. What is your philosophy of your career? I would say philosophy of ministry, but you're not a minister. But right. I mean, it's a good word for it.
It is a good word. I think that's a great word. It's when Joel, I was talking to our mom the other day about it, and I said, she said, "I'm so proud of you." And I said, "Well, Mom, you and Dad should be proud of the children that you had, because all of us in one way, shape, or form are in service." Mm-hmm. Each of us are in a public facing position where we are serving our community or someone within our community for the most part. And so I don't think that you and I and Alan and Peter, I don't think, Connie, Annie, Nancy, all of us have provided service to someone. I don't know that we really had a choice. It's almost as inbred to us as eating spaghetti on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened, if I had to really guess, is that the way we grew up, where we grew up, what was important to us, what Dad and Mom taught us about what was important, was inescapable. I mean, here we are sitting in this studio, and you are doing something that is in a position of outreach to others to improve the way we look at our community. It's really not all that different than what I do. And so I think that there are times in the behavioral health world, and you might remember this from your kids' days, where you know you can be a clinician and you can help to reshape the lives of a person. And then you can be in a position like the one I'm in, where you can try to reshape the lives of a community. And I think that that's, I was blessed to use the, you know, in terms of ministry, I was blessed to have this opportunity to be in a servant leadership role.
And we don't have to do a deep dive, but maybe just on the surface, explain what exactly you do with community care behavioral services.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, we're an insurance company.
Okay.
We authorize care and we pay for care and we bring people in the network. I think as it pertains to this, we're not your average managed care company in so much as we really believe in partnering with the providers who provide care to the people who need the help. And you know, what I tell them is my job is to get all the obstacles out of their way. So that all they have to concentrate on is that person that's sitting in the office in front of them or in the home that they're visiting.
And that's in this climate right now, to remove obstacles is a heavy lift.
Yeah, sure.
So to the uninitiated, can you share in 2023 the kind of the 30,000 foot view of behavioral health?
30,000 and 3 foot view.
Okay.
And, you know, really the work that we do on the big level, you know, we call it public health, which is just kind of, you know, kind of a trendy term, right? You know, this idea of applying good quality work to a huge population of people. So for Erie, that's 87,000 people who are eligible for the insurance that I represent.
Say that again. I mean, that is just hard to get your arms around.
87,000 people became eligible for Medicaid through the extension of Medicaid during the pandemic. And lots of them used the service. And in Erie, it's about 20,000 people use behavioral health care. So, so that's the 30,000 foot view. Like, how do you when a workforce has contracted to about 21 anywhere during the pandemic, 21 to 27%, how do you make sure that people still get care?
Say that again. You're saying if your baseline is 100 or X, you're at
73 to 79 full time equivalents per 100.
Wow.
So we ask all these young people who are providing this amazing care to do more. And there's lots that left. That's just too much. And you know, there's no blame there. But lots stayed. And what our job was, and the I promise you, Joel, the humility of our position was to make sure that our contribution was for the remaining 72 young people providing this care, that they didn't have yet one more obstacle in front of them, that they just had to give the care. And myself and my team, that was our job to do whatever it was to remove those obstacles.
The behavioral health system, at least when it comes to Medicaid patients, is like, Is it like a three tier or like a three legged stool? It's you as the managed care. There doesn't the county have a role, and then the providers have a role, right?
Well, actually, it's four.
Is it four? Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, you've had Mr. Davis on a number of times. Mr. Davis,
we talked about this yesterday, by the way, because Brenton was on yesterday. Yep.
Primarily responsible for making a decision between him and Mr. DiMatteo, making a decision. Who do we trust to take care of the you know, these important federal dollars? Who could be a good steward of those dollars for Erie County? And so we are honored to have been chosen. So Mr. Davis, Mr. DiMatteo, they're one leg. And then there's the managed care company, myself and my team, and I am blessed by these amazing creative visionary thinkers who also continue to have, you know, this pandemic heaps more and more on, but we, you know, we are truly blessed. So that's another leg. And then the third leg, of course, is the providers, the ones that actually give the care. And the fourth is the member.
Yeah.
And now more than ever, we really have depended on our members to take their care seriously.
Interesting.
Because there's such little care at times to have.
So it sounds like there's that level of mutual respect from the provider and the member in saying that, you know what, if this stuff is going to work, if what we're giving you is going to work, we respect you enough that you're going to take it seriously, yeah. that you're going to take your meds and that you're going to do things, get your sleep, do your therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those things. And you know, Erie has been known, Joel, I think I said this before, Erie's known statewide as being just flush with services, especially for children and families. And we're not used to those services being stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend, one of the things that my team and I really promote with our providers is to give them permission to take an assertive approach on the engagement in that treatment. So just like you said, we really need you to take this stuff serious. We were talking about the apartments because there's a line waiting, you know, for people who want this care.
Wow. Wow. Can you talk about what the range of services, specifically when we were talking to County Executive Davis yesterday, we were talking about the home team and homelessness. I would imagine homelessness comes under your purview, drug and alcohol. What are some of like the big chunks that you guys provide services for?
So one of the things that County Executive Davis has insisted on, done a great job really, is insisting that we bring kind of these siloed approaches to cross systems care. So for instance, while drug and alcohol services and the drug and alcohol providers in Erie County, I am one of their funders. They also really come in contact, brush up against our homeless population to a great degree, and our mental health folks do the same with our homeless population. So what he and Mr. DiMatteo have really pushed for is this more tighter integration. So for instance, you know, Erie United Methodist Alliance, Community Shelter Services, St. Martin's Center, City Mission, these folks are partnering with us now, receiving funding so that they're not just giving you a bed and, you know, three hots and a cot,
mm-hmm.
but they're actually engaging that member, or that person, excuse me, in their mental health, so they make sure they get to their first appointment after they've been hospitalized, or they get to their outpatient services. So it's really creative, and it's assertive, and it's a great time to be a social worker.
So you're saying that this has kind of evolved over the years of your career, where people would just kind of do their widget, and then there'd be another silo with their widget. Now we're trying to do this holistic or interdependent situation.
That's absolutely it. And I mean this with the utmost sincerity. One of the things that I brag across the state to my peers is that Erie is the perfect size for creating inter-service relationships, because we literally all know one another. So you can have the heads of these large organizations sitting around the same table with homeless shelters, with our county jail or county prison, our warden, and so on. So all these different systems that, again, like you said, we're kind of all doing their own thing. We've all kind of put that aside, and it's really under the good leadership of Mr. Davis and Mr. DiMatteo.
That's amazing. All right, Jeff Natale is my guest here. If you notice a thread, we have been going kind of after this subject here, whether it was talking about workforce with Pat Herr and in talking yesterday about the home team with County Executive Davis. Now Jeff is kind of giving us an idea of the social services structure and what does it take to be a breakthrough practitioner, as he's being recognized by LECOM Health. You are one of the Erie's greatest champions of behavioral health, according to the folks at LECOM. That's pretty special.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm one of the greatest champions, but I will tell you I'm one of the greatest fans of our community first, and all of the people who provide care, health care, behavioral health care, and of course our school folks and our safety folks.
Yeah, how much of social services is now spilling into the schools? You know, given the community schools model and all that,
yep.
That seems to be kind of a front line.
Well, I will tell you, the United Way is blessed to have Mike Jurasevich in a leadership role there. Mike and I have grown to be very close, especially over the last, I'd say, last 5 years. And what's so cool is that Mike has taken, you know, you have organizations that provide funding that bump up against social services in general. And in the spirit of what we were just saying, sometimes the best of intentions can create kind of duplications of service.
Okay.
And we don't have the money for that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We need to use our money really right. well. So with Mike's leadership, he and I have, you know, we talk with enough frequency and have the vision to determine, are these two services, this vision that maybe the United Way has or that the county has, are they going to be complementary, or are they going to be redundant? And that has evolved. So there's all these really cool maturing of service development that's happened. And then the pandemic, this is the blessing of the pandemic, if there is anyone, is that we've been forced together to make these kinds of decisions. So for instance, you know, there will be times that, you know, the United Way or another organization that has money, they'll be approached, you know, for funding. And like I said, Mike and I have spent time talking about, is there synergy between what is being asked, and better decisions are being made as a result, which means if it's a good fit, you go ahead. And if it's not a good fit, that money can be spent somewhere else.
Wow. Wow. The infrastructure of how case flow happens, mm-hmm. I guess case management.
Sure.
I don't want to get outside my knowledge base here, but I mean, certainly having that community school mm-hmm. where maybe that family would never talk to anybody else, but that community school director might be the only trusted friend, right?
So the United Way Community Schools, all of our school districts have received funding and have implemented having their own mental health professionals within their schools.
Okay.
So, you know, I mentioned that, you know, our system is stressed, but all of a sudden, the schools are actually saving us from some of the volume of care that would have otherwise been required by our local providers.
Okay.
And really providing kind of like a mental health kind of first aid approach to these kids that are in schools. And they might be, jury's out, we don't know yet, but they might be priming the pump on engaging families, because when families have kids that have behavioral problems, or maybe the family has a history themselves, one of the things that they often struggle with is, I don't want the school to know about my business.
Mm-hmm.
So the community schools, these mental health professionals that are paid out of ARPA funds or whatever, really are building some terrific bridges and creating healthy relationships again between the families and the schools. Really terrific. Not sure what's going to happen when the money runs out.
Right.
But for now, I think most of us have taken the approach that, you know, we are going to take the blessings as they come and have the faith that these will blossom into something really terrific in the future, funding aside.
You were mentioning the scale of Erie and how Erie is kind of the perfect place
perfect.
To be creative in this space. But it is still 20,000 people accessing these services. How does that work? Because my understanding is I mean, like, we can know, for example, as a data point, we can know every homeless person
sure.
in Erie County. We can know them by name, can't
sure,
we?
Sure, we sure do. In fact, we probably know them exactly by name. And we also can do that on a much larger scale with the behavioral health system. So we, interestingly, community care has, I think we represent like 43 counties in Pennsylvania, and we have 13 contracts. Erie's right in the middle.
Interesting.
Right in the middle. We have six larger and six smaller. So we're this, you and I think we've talked about that when we were kids. Yeah. We're like the perfect test community.
Oh, right,
For, you know.
The McRib.
Right. For the, send it to Erie.
Send it to Erie.
If they like it, we can sell it. Well, that's us. And so we are not too big. If we were Allegheny County, for instance, how could I possibly and my team reach out to, you know, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of large organizations to try and make a difference in one person's life? That's really tough to do. In Erie, it is not in any way abnormal for myself and my clinical manager to sit on a call about one child and have 14 professionals wrapping services around that one kid.
That's incredible. Now, when you look at the pillars of practice, if you will, and I'm sure you guys have these divided up of, you know, this is homelessness, this is mental health, this is drug and alcohol and what have you. Mm-hmm. Are we stocked in each of those pillars, or are there gaping holes for providers in some of these pillars? Because, for example, I still see a lot of people sleeping on benches at night.
Right. You know, it's interesting. We had a conversation about this just today, and that is, if we are, when we talk about filling the holes on needs, Erie, if you look at all of our organizations, we have no gap. It's only when you look at who is in that organization or how few, then you start to see. So we used to talk about, does Erie have gap? Does it need different services? And the answer has always been no. Now it's, does Erie have the people to fill the organizations? And
the workforce.
Do they have the gap? And the answer is yes.
And I'm excited to have with me here my brother, Jeff Natale. He is the director, the regional director of community care behavioral health here in this neck of the woods. And he is the first recipient for the LECOM Health Behavioral Health Breakthrough Awards. I get this sense of, like, you know, Superman blasting through some kind of like a Marvel thing, you know?
Are you
Iron Man? Or
boy, I would love to be Iron Man. How much fun would that be? I think the purpose of the award is, despite the obstacles, someone found a way.
Somebody found a way to break through.
And I think that's their intention going forward is, you know, especially with the scholarship fund, you know, these heroes of the future, which is, I got to tell you, Joel, is the thing that makes me most excited about, is the idea. I mean, you and I grew up, you know, we didn't have it easy. You know, dad worked really, really hard
Three
to make
jobs,
sure that we could go to school, but we weren't exactly rolling in cash. Mm-mm. So I think about how neat it would be for someone who has a passion for social work. So again, will be the university awarded with the scholarship. How neat it will be for someone who needs the money but has the passion.
Yeah, yeah. When we left off before the news break, we were talking about workforce. Mm-hmm. And I want to start from the very beginning. As you read your trades and you talk to your buddies, is social work, is that bachelor's and master's, that MSW, anybody coming up? I mean, is it still recruiting a lot of folks?
It is. I think that the university will tell you that there is concern for the interest in the social sciences on the whole.
I mean, they can't recruit enough teachers.
Teachers, nurses, you know.
These first responders, these frontline workers, essential workers, right?
Right. Yeah, they're, you know, I have to fight myself to not be selfish and go, okay, but wait a second. I know we need the police and I know we need the fire, but we need social workers, right?
True.
I know we need nurses and doctors, but we need, you know, and if you get the next guest in here who's a physician, he's going to say, we need nurses. And you get the chief of police in, and we need officers on the front line.
Yes.
The thing I would say, Joel, there, and this is the kind of a point that I make to my providers, no one can sit on the sidelines. You know, in our community, there are so many jobs, and in my line of work, you don't even need to have experience to do some of them. You know, most of our openings are positions for people who could have a GED or a high school diploma. And it's And gone are the days where, you know, you make a pittance. We really have had to infuse money into things like rates so that people can pay their folks well. So if you believe in Erie County, if you believe in our community, sitting on the sidelines is not a great way to be a contributor. Getting into the workforce, you know, providing care in these levels of care that actually, you know, you can get a job that makes you feel good and pays the bills. It's a really great way to believe in the community that you live in.
All right. You have a very particular perspective, though, because you came up as a child and family counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have some perspectives on maybe the current generation of adults who, you know, just 10 years ago were 10 and 12-year-olds, right?
That's true, yep.
I mean, and just think about this a second, Jeff. Is there something, and you can't paint with broad strokes, but is there something generationally that seems to impact this workforce shortage, or is it just there's less of them?
Can you imagine when Peter came home and he had the long hair, or when it was Angelo?
You're right.
And that moment where Dad lost his mind and said, "You know, one of my kids is going to have the long hair," right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What if we flipped the script and we said, instead of blaming millennials or Gen Zs, we said, what if it's us? What if it's the Jeff Natalis who are old and we haven't learned to adapt to a new need? So all of us have need, right? Like, you know, I don't mind being told that I did a good job. I kind of like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if there's just a generation, and we are just Dad saying, instead of it being your long hair, long-haired
yeah.
freaky people, right? Instead of it being that, it's we're saying, oh, you just don't want to work.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the, you know, you need to be taken care of. You need just a safe space.
You're spending too many hours in the basement on your Twitch.
Right, exactly.
On Twitch, yeah.
But what if we changed? Now, I'm being sheepish about this because we have to change. So shall we just wait till it's a crisis? I think that there are brilliant leaders in this community who have already figured this out.
Yeah.
In fact,
you're in the
middle of them.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep at this, because I get this conversation in every sector, whether it's the public sector. You know, I have the construction unions who are begging kids to take their pre-apprenticeships
and
their apprenticeships,
yep.
and you know, they've got this big, you know, maybe close to a six-figure
yep.
salary at the end of the rainbow, but they're really having a hard time. And meanwhile, all of the people my age and your age and older are aging out of
right.
this stuff.
That is a frightening prospect.
I mean, how many counselors are at a place like Erie Homes or the Achievement Center that are in their late 50s, maybe early 60s.
A conversation I literally had today that we, you know, your and my generation have one more thing to do, and that is we must. This is the point about servant leadership. We must position our thought process around the idea of how can I meet you where you're at and give you the wisdom that can be given, because not all wisdom mm-hmm. can be given, give you the wisdom can be given so that I can leave. Like how, because you and I, Joel, we're going to have to look ourselves in the mirror and go, did we really do everything we could to prepare the next generation for that same directive that our father gave to us?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, I know I have not. I know that there's a lot more I can do. That's why I decided to start teaching.
Wow. And so, to your students, the ones that have chosen, hey, I'm going to pursue this, do you have a lot of optimism and hope in what the kids are like?
First of all, they tickle me. These kids are
they're hilarious.
They're
huh?
so funny.
Yeah.
And yes, I will say I said this to them at our last class in front of my students, and I said, your connection to social justice is so inspiring. And I'm a pretty staunch Democrat,
yeah.
but I got lots of conservative, you know, mm-hmm. beliefs. At this point in my life, I want to affirm them in anything that brings them joy and gets their fire burning. And for them, a lot of them, it's this idea that people deserve to be treated with respect and dignity.
Well, and there's no doubt about it. We've talked about that in that regard as far as, you know, how do we reduce youth violence? Well, part of it is, you know, how are we treating them in their environments? Are they being treated with respect? You know, are they invited to church or their faith community? You know, are they treated with respect in school? And again, it's not going to work for everybody,
but you can
be the adult in the room, I guess.
Amen. And you've got a leader right up the road. You've got his chief of police, and they is a really different Erie Police Department than you and I grew up with, who really have adopted exactly what you said. It is amazing how they are availing themselves of this idea of, we want to be your partner in your being okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Law and Order, when you and I were coming up, you know.
So. A lot of the nightstick.
Yeah, old school knee breaking.
Exactly. But the when you think about your knowledge base about family and child counseling, so much of the news is about the mental health crisis in our children.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes to your mind as far as not so much just proclaiming the problem,
mm-hmm.
but what could be on the solution side of that, even as we are, you know, neighbors or caregivers or you know, people that are concerned about our kids?
We think we know what happened, and that
is, we talk about the pandemic.
That was the impetus, right? One of the kind of prevailing theories is that when parents were left to be, I mean, God love Gianna and Devin, right? But when parents are left to be stuck with their kids 24/7, school has provided respite, emotional respite to parents. Work provides intellectual and social, you know, provides for your intellectual and social needs. So when parents and their kids got stuck together, one, that wasn't super awesome to be together 24 hours a day, and those kids were not getting their emotional needs and behavioral kind of restraints attended to. So you think about, okay, that was 3 years of that. How many years is it going to take for us to kind of recover and bounce back? Well, we're really only a year and a half into the idea of kids going back. And we had this explosion of the exposure of mental illness. So I really do think that the people who have stayed in the field are the true warriors, and they are healing a very broken component of the impact of the pandemic, and that's gonna take a minute, you know.
Yeah, and how do we expect our teachers to be able to teach and you know and hit their numbers, if you will, hit their keystones under these conditions? You know?
I just had dinner with one of Jen's teacher friends.
Yeah.
And Judge, you'd have been so inspired. She's a tough lady, and she's like, you know what? I show up and I make sure that I'm the best me I can be for them, and I do not try to let the noise get in my head. And I'm going, that's it right there. Do not fall into the trap of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Just do your job. Be present, because we all want to be in loving relationships. She shows up. She shows love and respect to those kids, and the kids respond. That's it.
Yeah.
Show up every day. And that's why we need people to get off the couch, get back to work, get into work. You will help heal our community.
This is the time, and again, if we're talking to folks that are maybe parents or grandparents of that 18 to 24 year old that for some reason is still trying to figure it out.
Yep.
I mean, we've got a community college now.
Amen.
We've you know, with what, free tuition or whatever, we've got all these options, and there are people that are begging you to come talk to them.
Absolutely. If there's a grandparent on this call who's got the 19-year-old who's ready to do the work, we've got Sarah Reed, we've got Milk Creek Community Hospital, Percy.
They can get a decent wage.
Tomorrow.
Holy smokes.
Tomorrow, these folks need these young people who can engage other young people about their problems. and they will train you for free, mm-hmm. and you become this kind of certified technician, and all of a sudden you're saving lives yourself.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool stuff.
Talk about the impact of pharmaceuticals with mental health these days. Mm-hmm. Are we drugging our kids too much?
I don't think so. But what I do think is that there was a period of time, Joel, before the pandemic where Erie County really had a death grip on the opioid crisis. Once the pandemic hit, Governor Wolf poured tons of money into, these hub and spoke approaches to, addressing folks who have opioid use disorders. When you let your foot off the gas, when there isn't the funding there anymore, you see kind of these relapses. I don't believe that. In fact, there are federal regulations around how much medication children can actually get.
Okay.
And we get measured on that, to be honest. So I actually don't think that that's the issue. I do think what is happening is there's just kind of freaking out about these kids' acuity, that kids are getting, really, really sick. Mm. And the folks who were never in a position to have to take care of that kind of illness now are. And that has really exacerbated the people's perspective on how bad it is. Truth of the matter is, kids' wellness or illness has always really been there. We just haven't had the challenges with them, as enhanced by them being home, having too small of a workforce. If we see recovery, mm-hmm. I think what we end up seeing is all of the, the news, bites about kids' mental health begin to shrink and become less interesting.
If I go see my PCP and he says, I'm gonna do a recommend that you go see a psychiatrist or whatever, how long do I have to wait?
The cool thing is, if you want to just go see a counselor, probably not very long.
Well, that's good.
If you want to see a psychiatrist, probably quite a bit.
Like 6 months?
Probably less than that.
Okay.
We're lucky. We have the largest medical college in the nation, and Dr. Hansen's team pumps out psychiatrists. Our per capita is crazy, off the charts.
Yeah.
But it's still bad. It's still bad. We still could use more. So
do you like that model of PCP being primary for behavioral health?
Absolutely. As long as we're supporting them. And the state pays for a TIPS program where basically a primary care physician can call Pennsylvania TIPS and speak to a psychiatrist who can help for free.
Okay.
And consult on, you might want to try these medications instead. So, yes, I am, it used to be 80% folks get their psychotropic medications through their PCP. We need that to be closer to like 95%. And the 5% that are really, really sick need to be taken care of by a specialist.
Wow. So it is behavioral health is more and more primary care.
Primary care.
I had no idea.
Yep.
Incredible. All right. Last 2 minutes with my brother Jeff. Try to encapsulate what this breakthrough award means to you and what it can mean to our community as the folks come after you that will get this up from year to year here, you think?
Honestly, Joel, I hope what it means is that my peers who have, nominated me for this award have seen that I have a tenacity about caring about my community, and that being the youngest child, I don't take no very well.
And that, mean you got away with murder.
I would like to say that I try to outlast people.
At least mom and dad, for sure.
That's right. I think that's it.
The tenacity. Tenacity is key here.
It really is.
I think you've kind of taught me that. You could be callous to the thing, or you could be so wishy-washy that you don't get anything done.
That's right.
And the sweet spot is in the middle somewhere.
In the middle, and just if you can outlast the naysayers.
Wow.
It's amazing what you can accomplish. And I hope that's why I'm getting the award.
And we have a pretty remarkable behavioral health community here with all the providers. I mean, they do seem to get along as colleagues.
I, I think we truly care about one another.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing to be more than a colleague, really more like friends.
And again, the people that need the care, that need the help, are the ones that benefit. We are benefiting our neighbors. We're loving our neighbors.
We are loving our neighbors. We're in the fight.
Amazing. Jeff Natale, he is the inaugural winner of the LECOM Health Behavioral Health Breakthrough Awards happening next Wednesday down at the Bayfront. You can go to LECOM Health to find out more about it if you want to come and celebrate. And I'm excited for you, Jeff. Congratulations.
Thanks, Joel. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Ferretti.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.